Anyway, these are the verses. These are the verses on Karma Yoga in second chapter. It's very good to know this part where Krishna introduces even Karma Yoga here, and he emphasizes the importance of pursuing artha, kama and dharma in conformity with artha, kama in conformity with dharma, which means, you know, karma yoga. So that means karma is highly, performance of duties, performance of karma is highly emphasized here. But how? Because non-performance will not help you to achieve what you have to achieve choicelessly. So performance, mere performance of karma also will definitely produce results, and which will be only time bound. So here, but still, that's why the performance of duties and karmas, the importance, but in conformity with dharma is highly emphasized here. That is why Arjuna gets a little confused. My God, you said moksha is a choiceless end for which knowledge is the only means. And again, if your knowledge is the only means for moksha, then why should I do karma then? Why should I not pursue just the knowledge? There's no such thing called pursuing only knowledge without doing any karma. Okay, of course, knowledge is the means. All that you need is knowledge for moksha. When you see the rope, okay, as a rope, there's no fear. When you see the rope as a snake, okay, and there's a fear. And to get to the fear caused by the snake, what do you need? You need the knowledge of what is. Knowledge of the snake being not there, rope alone being there, okay? Snake being there is the only thing which can free you from fear. And for which you need to know what is the knowledge of what is. Knowledge of rope, the thing that's there is being only rope should be very clear. Okay? That knowledge alone will free you from other things. Only knowledge you need. Similarly here, for this, the problems, no? For you, freedom, for the thing, you need only knowledge, nothing else. But for the knowledge, the mind needs to be ready, focused. Mind needs to be subtle. The gross mind has to become subtle mind. That is why you can't do anything, go against the nature here. So all the biological, natural, physical needs have to be fulfilled. Everything has to be lived. The life has to be lived. Duties have to be done. Karmas have to be done, performed. That's why it's very important to live a life of karma yoga as a preparatory means for jnanam. That's why he emphasizes karma yoga in this. Third chapter will become very clear, karma yoga, but still he says here. So from the 38th verse onwards, the second chapter, the karma yoga is introduced, then karma yoga is discussed. From 38 to 52. And he also, later on, he's going to also talk, he also condemns people who are committed only to the karma, who neglect knowledge. He doesn't accept people, he doesn't accept this idea of accept only karma, performance of karma alone is the right only thing. Doing duties is enough, doing karma is enough, karma palam is enough. He doesn't accept it. Nor does he accept the knowledge. Mere knowledge is, I want to pursue, commit only to the pursuit of knowledge without doing any karma. That doesn't say that. It doesn't allow, accept both. It doesn't accept that there's another, later we're going to see one thing, that there are people who say we have to do karma and knowledge together will give you freedom. That's not acceptable, accepted by Shankara. Because knowledge is the moksha. Knowledge is the means for moksha, we say first. Second step, we say knowledge itself is moksha. Now, first step we say knowledge is the means for moksha. Second step we say knowledge and moksha are identical. Knowledge itself is moksha. Now, so when you look at the rope as a rope, the knowledge of the rope be itself is what? Freedom from fear of seeing the rope, seeing the snake. There are two different things. Don't need to see first the rope, then the fear goes. It looks as though. Now, next step. Really speaking, seeing the rope itself is freedom from fear of seeing the snake. There are two different things. Similarly, here, knowing the reality itself is knowing, understanding limitlessness of the reality. Limitlessness of the reality itself is what? But knowing, becoming free from all limitations. Therefore, the moksha, knowledge itself is moksha, but for that knowledge, as a preparatory means, now mind has to be ready. Whatever we do, if the mind is not ready for that vision, then it's not possible. That is why for preparedness, one has to live one's life, which implies one has to live a life of karma yoga.
Yesha te bhihita sankhe. Yesha te bhihita sankhe. Buddhiryoge tvimam shruno. Buddhiryoge tvimam shruno. Buddhya yukto yaya partha.
Buddhya
yukto yaya partha. Karma bandham prahasyasi. Karma bandham prahasyasi.
See, here he says, Krishna says here, ye sankhya yoga. Sankhya yoga means actually in this chapter on knowledge, this section on knowledge, where knowledge is, the nature of the reality is discussed, there buddhihi abhihita. Buddhihi here means this attitude, you know, this the buddhihi means buddhi yogaha is abhihita. Buddhi yoga means karma yoga. The karma yoga also is discussed here. Buddhihi abhihita. The karma yoga, buddhihi here stands for buddhi yoga. Buddhi yoga means karma yoga. See, karma yoga is also known as buddhi yoga. There are two different things. In this chapter, wherein the nature of the reality is discussed, on the section wherein knowledge is discussed, there karma yoga is also discussed. Abhihita has been revealed to you. What is that? Yaya buddhya yuktaha, being endowed with which, no, buddhihi, this is the knowledge of karma yoga, being endowed with this attitude, proper attitude of, no, attitude that one should have, which involves karma yoga. Karma bandham prahasyasi, you will be free from bondage of karma. Karma bandham prahasyasi. This is where you have to understand. It means when you say karma bandham prahasyasi, you will become free from bondage of karma. You will be free from bondage of karma means you will be free from all limitations. Bondage of karma means what? You will be free from all limitations. You'll be free from all limitations means you will be free from all problems of life. You'll be free from some sorrow. That means you will be happy. That's what the aim is. You will be happy. I mean, you'll be happy means you will be blessed with everlasting happiness. You will be free from unhappiness. You'll be free from sorrow. You'll be free from all problems of life. You'll be free from all sense of limitations. All limitations, the sense of being limited, and you will be free from the bondage of karma. Okay? You will be free from the freedom mind also. Karma bandham prahasyasi. Then the question comes, what is karma bandha? What is bondage of karma? Now, why we have to talk about this here in this context? See, what is it which will free me from bondage of karma? Before that, we need to understand what is bondage of karma. I won't be interested in becoming free from bondage of karma if I do not know what is bondage of karma. I should know what is bondage of karma. And second thing, I should know that I am bound by karma. I am bound by karma. I have no choice. No? That is why we have to understand. Generally, people who study basic texts and Vedanta, they would have understood all these things. Then when they come here, it is easy. Okay, come on. Karma bandham prahasyasi. People should know, I am bound by karma already. Okay? There is a notion that I am bound by karma. There is a sense of being bound by karma. There is a sense of being bound by karma already. And then, therefore, one has to become free from the sense of being bound by karma. Therefore, they should know what is bondage of karma. Only then they will, how can I free myself from that sense of being bound by karma? Why do I have that sense of being bound by karma? They have to understand. Then only they will be interested in jnanam. See, Shastram says, see, all that, the very birth, okay, it is start from here. Once you are born as a human being, and you know you are, and you do not know who you are, and you do not know that you do not know who you are, and you do not know that you need to know who you are, and you don't know anything, and you have very identity with your whatever physical, emotional, the personalities you have, layers of personalities you have identity with that also. And thereby you have sense of belonging to the things connected to this body. And certain sense of belonging to certain things and people, and their sense of, non-belonging also to certain other things. There's no connections. And this birth itself, then you do not know that you are born, we say. Why you are born, you don't know. And why these are my parents, you don't know. And your birth is not your choice, that you do not know. You did not choose to be born. You did not choose to be born as the child, okay, of these given parents. It is not your choice. Nothing is there. You don't know why you are born also. You know, you don't ask questions also. Why am I born here? There's no nothing. Just you are just born. And you are growing up. And here, but there are situations, and we go through both desirable and undesirable situations. We have pains, we have pleasures, the situations of pleasures, and we are going through. But as long as pleasures are there, okay, when the pains also come, then we can't take it. We don't want that. And Shastram says all that, and naturally we have this, ignorance is naturally there, and the desires are very naturally there. All these diseases are very natural. We are not creating diseases. Just the thoughts, diseases come. Wishes are there, passion is natural, attachment is very natural. Everything is very natural. Nothing is unnatural here. So we don't need to feel guilty and bad about being attached and having diseases, all those things. Everything is very natural. And that is why you have no choice about doing any karma. You have to be doing something or the other. Doing karma means what? You know, being active. Some, even laziest person has to get up and go eat and sit. No? Eat at least eat and sit. No, that's why nobody has any choice about doing karma. That means naturally you have certain biological needs, you have to eat and drink and other things you have to be doing. That means involves karma. That is where. And then situations come, unpleasant, disabled and undesirable situations. When you do the karma, we saw already, you have the free will, you can choose, you have the knowledge of the right and wrong. Being born a human being, you know common sense, born ethics, is known to you, so you know what is right and what is wrong. You have the knowledge of values, you can use your will, you can choose to do the right, you can avoid the wrong. All those things we've seen already. But in spite of choosing to do the right or avoiding the wrong also, things which happen, you know, these results which come, are they to your choice? Are they to your expectation or not? They may be or they may not be. And why such things happen? That is what we say. Every situation that happens in life, now actually especially it affects the mind. Whether it makes you feel elated or it makes you feel dejected or depressed, whatever the situations which come, and they're all, we say, the results of the karma, results of actions. They are not the immediate results of the immediate actions. We always mistake, we think, this I did, this result has happened. We always connect the present action and the present result. Really speaking, even though the present action may be in the cause, but still present action is only instrumental. The present situation is only instrumental for all the present, you know, states of mind one goes through. And our Shastram says, it has the past karma as is the cause. The past karma means even the past life's karma. You can't even imagine that you're the rebirth, okay? That you're born again, it means you lived even before the birth of this body, even before this birth, you existed even before that. There was life before the birth of this body. This life also, before this life, there was another life, there was another life. But life is beginningless. Life is endless. So beginningless, endless cycle this is. That is why life never comes to an end. Never comes to an end. Life is always continuous. Beginningless, endless cycle is life means. This birth and death is what? Life is a beginningless, endless, you know, cycle of births and deaths. If that is the case, which life is this then? You can't say the number of this life. Which this life is 9th birth, 10th birth. You can't say that. Nobody can ever say, this is my 9th birth. This is my 10th birth. That means that you can say which is the first birth. When you say it's a beginningless, endless cycle means, the beginningless, endless cycle, you can never say which birth is this birth. You can never say that. And we always say the present punya, present karmaphalam, the present pleasures and pains and pleasures that one goes through in one's present life, is called prarabdha karmaphalam. Prarabdha karmaphalam. Prarabdha praarabdham. Prakarshena arabdha karmaphalam. That means the results which started yielding, which started fructifying. It's called praarabdham, prarabdham karmaphalam. That means, prarabdham karmaphalam means, karma is of the past. Okay, the result of the karma of the past, which are exhausted now. Whatever which is exhausted now, is exhaustion of the results of the past karmas. Which you don't even remember. Because you don't remember the past karmas, but you only exhaust the karma phalam in the present, you can't connect this result with the past karma. Therefore, the cause is unseen. When the cause is unknown to you, the cause is there, but the cause being there is the cause being unknown to you now. It's not, you don't remember it. You don't know this now, and we call it what? Adrishtam. Drishtam means seen. The phalam, the result, the fruit that you are enjoying now, for which the cause is unknown to you, unseen, is what said to be adrishtam. Okay, suppose suddenly you get some lot of money. Oh my God, I didn't do any work. Okay, I didn't work hard. Suddenly I'm getting so much of money. This is not the time to talk about it like this, okay? All over the world there's a recession. I shouldn't say suddenly why there's a recession now? The pound has become 69 rupees in India. 70 rupees. The power has gone. Why it has happened? Okay? Why it has gone down? Or suddenly big mayor became a pauper. Suddenly things have shaken, no? Many people are committing suicides. A lot of people have gone mad in America. They lost because sudden losses and things. Why this has happened? Okay, we don't know. Sudden thing happens, or slowly things happen, suddenly things happen, and situations which are not desirable. We don't see the connection. People immediately start thinking, why it has happened? This has not done well. This has not. They see the present thing. So samashti part of them is there. Now what I'm saying, whatever the desirable or undesirable situations which we go through, we always try to see the immediate cause. This is the cause for this thing to happen. There may be some truth in it. I don't say no. But still for the mental trauma we go through, for that, the cause is always past. The karanam. And which is a old karma, past karma. The karma which has been done in the previous lives and which is not remembered now. Therefore, which you cannot connect that past karma with the present situation which you are going through now. Therefore, we always see adrishtam phalam. Understand? Adrishtam means what? The phalam which you are exhausting now, for which the cause is unknown to you. Now, then you say adrishtam phalam. Adrishtam can be what? People say luck actually. Adrishtam can be desirable or undesirable. It can be pain or it can be pleasure. Anything it can be. What is exhausting in the present life is what? Prarabdham. Okay? Prarabdham means every time we have desires and we plan, we scheme and we work hard, no? And we do something, the results do come. The results are most sometimes desirable, sometimes undesirable, sometimes the results are to your expectations, sometimes more than your expectations, sometimes less than your expectations, sometimes just totally opposite to your expectations, sometimes not all to your expectations. There may be anything. And that can cause ultimately what? Pain or pleasure. And for which we say that what you go exhausting now in the present life is all no results of the past karma. Okay? Why you already have past karma phalams, okay, the results which have not yet been exhausted. You have done the karmas and the results of which have not yet been exhausted, they're still in store. Okay? You have accumulated the results of fruits of actions which you have performed earlier, which have not yet been exhausted. So those, and how, when did they start? Don't ask all those questions. When you say life is a beginningless, endless cycle, one must have done many karmas, one must have accumulated, every karma definitely produces phalam, and all the phalams one must have accumulated. And whenever you do the karma, if the karma which is done, definitely any karma is expression of the pressure of one's desire. The desire really causes pressure. That's what gets expressed in the form of action. The need and the desire always causes pressure. That pressure is expression of the pressure of desire, and the need is what? The action. And therefore, the desire definitely produces the phalam, whether you like it or not. Whether you want the result, you don't want the result. Every action done definitely produces the result. No action ever goes without producing a result. Why? Because that is the law of karma. If that is the true, okay, that is true, then what happens of all the karmas you've been doing, okay, must be producing the phalams, and all the results of all the actions are not exhausted immediately. The results, there are results which remain without getting exhausted. Those results of the past actions which have not yet been exhausted, which have been accumulated, is called what? Sanchitam karma. Okay? Sanchitam karma means the Sanchita itself means accumulated, collected, stored, accumulated fruits, the results of actions of the past which have not yet been exhausted. It's called Sanchitam karma phalam. Called Sanchitam karma or Sanchitam karma phalam, which we have. Whether we cannot accept it. That's why we have to have certain faith in the words of the Shastram. Okay? And Sanchitam karma phalam. Why does it happen? Why is it so? How can the karma phalams, results of actions, get accumulated? The question is asked. Again, the Shastram says, all the karmas, all the results of all the actions, do not fructify immediately. Because the results of actions take their own time to fructify. That is the nature of the fruit again. The fruits of action, they take their own time to fructify. And we always give the example, suppose if we throw many seeds, all the seeds won't sprout immediately. Take some seeds, throw some mango seeds, throw some other seeds, and throw some our simple, black gram or other things, even the wheat and all those things. Now, if we just throw them, if it rains, they get soaked in water. Actually, the next day, immediately next day, you can see these grains coming, sprouting. But seeds like other fruit seeds, all these cherries, they'll take very long. 6 months, 1 year, they have to be there. They need some sleeping time and all that. Some grains sprout very next day. Very next day, if you soak them in water, in a few days' time, then you can see the sprouts coming. All chickpeas, if you soak it in water, 2 days. Third day, you can see the sprout. If you soak them in water. But other seeds, if you put them in water, it will take really 1 year, 6 months, like that, to sprout. You throw them all simultaneously, but still the different types of seeds take different timings to sprout. Similarly, even if you do karma simultaneously, the karma phalam has the nature that different results, fruits of actions take their own time to fructify. That is why sometimes the results, fruits of actions, one cannot exhaust all the karma phalams one does in one's lifetime. So there are, before the life comes to an end, sometimes the lifespan ends, but you wouldn't have exhausted all the karma phalams, fruits, or you wouldn't have enjoyed the results of actions that you did. The lifespan ends, but you have not yet enjoyed the fruits of actions. In simple thing is, sometimes now people grow this, the coconut grows people buy in India. And they will sow the coconuts and all that. Sometimes, suppose 70-year-old man buys a coconut, tills the land and makes it clear and all that, and nowadays we have hybrid trees, which start yielding in 3 years' time. Those days we didn't have this hybrid variety, coconut trees. We had to wait for many years for the coconut. First they'll throw the coconut in the well water. It will take their own time to sprout. Then they'll bring the sprouts outside. Then they'll dig very big holes, and then they sow them. And I have to wait. And then the coconut tree this plant will start growing, and it will go into a big tall tree. Then after 10 years, 12 years, and then they'll be yielding too many coconuts. Sometimes the old people, when they buy this 80th year now, 70 years, they buy this. They think that they buy it, the property for grandchildren or their sons. They buy the land and then they'll make coconut trees and all those things. And they also make these grooves also, like mango grooves and other grooves. They'll buy when they really, the plants they sow, they look after, they grow. And when they become proper yielding grooves, the trees of grooves, big grooves, but then this person won't be there. Should have died. And who's enjoying the fruits? Grandchildren. And grandchildren own the property of these grooves and all that. oh, mango grove, my grandfather left it for me, they'll say. And they enjoy the fruit, they sell the fruit, they make money. This man who really did worked for it, he doesn't enjoy. And so that means what? Before one performs karma, and the karma produces the phalam, before he starts, you know, he enjoys the, before he can enjoy, before the karma start giving the fruits, his work gives fruits, this person's lifespan comes to an end. Then he has what? The stored, accumulated karma phalams. Is it clear? Similarly, this is what happens. This accumulated, stored, the karma phalams, which remain without getting exhausted, the accumulated karma phalams are called sanchitam karma phalam. And from the sanchitam, one portion of sanchitam alone gets exhausted in the present karma, the present life. So the very this birth is the result of that past karma phalam. This parentage is a result of that past karma phalam. It is called prarabdha. Prarabdha means what? The one portion of sanchitam, not the entire sanchitam, okay? One portion of sanchitam which you start exhausting in the present life is called what? Prarabdham phalam. And when you present, when you do the karma, present life, when you live this life, you do so many karmas again, and you exhaust, you go through the punya papa, you know, we have, the actions were against dharma, they produced papa phalam. The actions were in conformity with dharma, they produced punya phalam. Punyam gets translated as into what? Pleasure. Papam gets translated into pain. The pain and pleasure, which you know as a mental states, which you go through in life, is what? Exactly, really, the results of the past karma. Okay? But for which the present actions you do, the present your life is becomes what? Situations are instrumental. The present actions you do, the present situations become instrumental, nimittam, for the old punya papas to get exhausted. It's called prarabdha. And while exhausting the prarabdham also, you are doing again what? The karma. You are, what happens to the karma phalam of the present? Phalam of the present karma. What happens to the fruits of the present actions? There are, definitely some are immediately exhausted. Again, while exhausting the prarabdham, you are doing karma, and these present karma also produce phalam. The phalam results, the fruits of the present actions get accumulated as agami karma. Understand? Agami. That means what? Is there any choice about exhausting? One has to do karma. Listen carefully. There's no choice about doing the karma. One has to do some karma or the other, because that is the nature of the... You can't sit, no? Once you do the karma, you have to have result, definitely. Results will be what? Either pleasure or pain you have to exhaust, punyam or papam you have. And results have to be exhausted. The results have to be exhausted. The lifespan comes to an end. There's no possibility of escaping. And so you're born again. Understand? To exhaust what? The karma phalams. The present span of life is not enough to exhaust the whole entire sanchitam. There is only one portion of sanchitam you are exhausting in the present, which is called prarabdha. While exhausting the prarabdha, again accumulating what? Agami. Okay? This agami karma phalam, the results of, okay, the unexhausted results of the present karma, which is accumulated as agami, will join the sanchitam, and one portion of sanchitam again will be exhausted in the future, next birth. Again the sanchitam, agami you accumulate. Always while exhausting the one portion of prarabdha, a sanchitam as the prarabdha, again you accumulate new agami, which will join the sanchitam. Sanchitam will be a permanent deposit fund. Like a deposit fund. Okay? It draws, understand what I'm saying. So, Sanchittam always will be there. Sanchittam will never get exhausted for good. Yes, please understand this very carefully. There is no way of exhausting the entire, all 100 karmas for good. When you say life is beginningless, Panchitam is beginningless. I can understand. Life is beginningless. Life is endless. And there you have always accumulated, stored Sanchitam karma. One portion of the Sanchitam is being exhausted as the Prarabdha in the present life. And in every present life, okay, we're exhausting the Prarabdha, you're accumulating the new Agami Palam, which will again be added to the Sanchitam. There's no choice. As long as one has the Sanchitam in one's account, one has to have exhausted Prarabdha in present life. Well, exhausting Prarabdha, accumulating Sanchitam means, Agami means, come on, tell me, there's no choice. You have to be exhausting the phalam, go through the results of actions. This is called bondage of karma. Understand? There's no way of escaping. If you think, I won't enjoy this punyapapas, I don't want this karma phalam, if you say, that means, do you have any choice about, did you have any choice about being born now? If you had choice about being born now, if you could have had any say over your own birth, present birth now, I can say, yes, you can undo your karma. Understand? We have no say over our karma phalam, karma. This is the proof. I don't have any choice. I did not have any choice about being born now. The very birth is what? You're ordained. Okay? The very birth has been ordained. Karma phalam this is. Everything is ordained. That is why, please understand, we have Sanchitam karma phalam. And Sanchitam is exhausted as, one portion of consciousness is exhausted as the Prarabdha in the present. While exhausting the Prarabdha, we are choicelessly, inevitably, helplessly, we are accumulating Agami. Agami again becomes what? Sanchitam. This is called bondage of karma. This is called karma bandha. Is it clear? This is called bondage of karma. Because bondage means, I have no choice about being born again. I have no choice about not being born again. I have no choice about not going through any, you know, undesirable situations. I have no choice about, you know, me going through this desirable situations. What choice do I have? I have disease, I have passion, I have attachments, and then I'm forced to do karma, I'm doing karma, and the results do come. Sometimes desirable, sometimes undesirable, sometimes I'm okay, sometimes I'm not okay. This is how life is going on. I can't say I have say over situations. What choice do we have? This is what is bondage. This is bondage of karma. As long as I had to go through both desirable and undesirable situations, when I become subject to these things, I think I am bound by this karma. I am bound by this karma phalam. Is what? This is a notion. I am bound. If there's pain, if there's pleasure, there's no problem. When you say, I have pain, I am going through pleasure, then there is a problem. Understand? So here this is bondage of karma. Therefore, and karma bandham prahasyasi, Krishna says here, this you will be free from this bondage of karma. If this is bondage of karma, then what is freedom from being bound now? What does he mean by you will be free from bondage of karma? That means you will be free from sanchitam karma. You will be free from agami karma. At the same time, Who's your what? Very nice music. Okay, at the same time you won't be affected by the present karma phalam also, paradham also. That is called is real freedom from bondage of karma. You will get it up, no? You'll be free from agam hanchitam, you'll be free from agami, and you won't be affected by paradham also. You will exhaust your prarabdha, without being affected by prarabdha, at the same time you will become free from sanchitam and agami, completely, you nil balance, okay, you won't be dead, you won't have any debts. That is freedom. How can you become free from bondage, sanchitam and agami? How can you remain unaffected by prarabdha karma? That is what is karma bandham prahasyasi. You will become free from bondage of karma. Hey Arjuna, don't worry. You have sanchitam, you have agami, you have prarabdha. This is what is bondage of karma. You can never, there is no way of escaping and running away. Understand? So we can escape everything else. This law, determined karma, phalam, okay? Sanchitam, prarabdha, agami. Oh, exhausted, prarabdha, I am relieved. No, agami. It joins the sanchitam. Again, next portion of this is called imprisonment, okay? You are bound now, you feel bound. And Shastram says, come on, where is agami, where is sanchitam? Sanchitam is there, agami is there, paradha is there, but you say you have sanchitam, agami, paradha. That is the problem. If you say, I have sanchitam, I have prarabdha, I have what? Agami. This is the problem. Understand? Therefore, this is all, the bondage is, I mean, centered. The being bound, the notion of being bound. Therefore, still one can free oneself from this notion of being bound. Therefore, that's called is what? Freedom from bondage, karma bandha. You can free yourself from the sanchitam and agami. You can live this paradham also without getting affected by that. How? He says, jnana teva kaivalyam, by knowing the self. If you know the self, if you identify yourself with the body, mind, sense complex, then you have the notion that you are the doer. This is a very simple thing. As long as you think you are the doer, you think you are the doer. Very strong notion, I am the doer. Very strong, very deep-rooted notion, I am the doer. There is no doubt. Why this I am the doer, this notion is there, therefore what? I am the enjoyer also. You are the doer and you are the enjoyer. Aham karta, aham bhokta, iti. No, the thinking is there, the notion is there. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Why these notions are there? Why do you think you are the doer, you are the enjoyer? Because you have, this is deep rooted. Nobody can come and tell you are not the doer. They simply come and tell you are not the doer. You will think I am mad. Anybody will think that the other person who says is mad. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And this I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, they are only notions. Why these notions are there? Because of your identity with the body, mind, sense complex. The identity with the body, identity with the senses, identity with subtle body, identity with the mind makes you think that you are the doer. Then you can ask, why do I have the identity then? Okay? You're helpless, okay? You have identity with the body, mind, sense complex. That means this identity, because you do not know what exactly you are. You do not know what you are. The wrong identity, you do not know who you are, you do not know what you are, do not know what this word I, when I say I am, what does it mean? I am means you know you are, but you do not know who you are. You do not know what you are. What this I am means? What does it mean? We don't know. And not only we do not know, we do not know that we do not know. You do not know what you are, and therefore naturally you identify yourself only with this body mind's complex, the limited. Therefore you think you are a limited being. And as long as you have, suppose if you know what you are, if you know what you are, then definitely you will not have identity only with the body mind's complex. You will have a right identity. Okay, you have only partial identity now. You don't have total identity. What you need is total identity. You have only partial identity now. If you know what you are, suppose the wave thinks only I am wave, it identifies only with the form. If the wave thinks I, the wave and the water, then it has identity with what? Water. Then it has total identity. Then I, the wave and the water, therefore I, the wave and the ocean. That can say also. Understand now. For which, for the wave to know, to say, I, the wave and the water, and therefore I, the wave and the ocean, to say that identity, bigger identity, it needs what? Needs to know its truth. Of it needs to know the self. So what is lacking is the knowledge of this truth, knowledge of the self. Here also we say, there is ignorance, self-ignorance, because of which the wrong identity is possible, because of which you associate, identify yourself only with the body, mind and complex. Because you identify yourself only with the body, mind and complex, due to the self-ignorance, and what happens? You mistake yourself for the doer. When you mistake yourself for the doer, the notion is very strong, very deep-rooted. The standpoint of when you, nothing wrong if you say I am the doer, but is it very notional? Understand? And there is also the notion that I am the enjoyer. When you have the notion I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, then you are subject to get bound by punya phalam or the papa phalam. Then you say, I have pain, I go through pleasure, I go through pain, I have suffering, all this have. Now business comes. Is it clear now? Therefore, how can you, listen carefully, how can you free yourself from bondage of karma? Not by not performing duties, not by not doing your work, duties, not by shirking responsibilities and duties, and not by doing also. He says, by knowledge. Okay? Once you know what the self is, what the self is, what the truth is, then you will have right identity. In the wake of knowledge of the self, you will correct your identity. You will have right identity, then you will not have identity only with the body, mind and complex, understand? Then you will become free from the notion that you are the doer. Freeing oneself from the notion that I am the doer is the only way to free yourself from bondage of karma. Understand? One has to free oneself from the notion that I am the doer. Thereby, one can free oneself from the notion that I am the enjoyer. Freeing oneself from the notion that I am the enjoyer is the only way, in fact, is the thing, is in fact freeing oneself from being bound. This bondage of karma. If you think you are, understand? And to therefore, to become free from bondage of karma, to free oneself from the notion that you are the enjoyer, to free oneself from the notion that you are the doer, all that you need is, you need the knowledge. Okay, you have right self-identity, thereby you have to correct your wrong identity. Understand? So that's why for this knowledge again, what do you need? Okay, how can I gain this knowledge? You need to know the self, okay? And to have this self-knowledge, you have to be mentally pure and steady. Look at this. You need what? You have to become mentally pure and steady. Without mental purity and mental steadiness, you cannot have this knowledge. Without this self-knowledge, you cannot have right identity. Without having right identity, without having corrected your wrong identity, there's no way of becoming free from the notion that you are the doer and you are the enjoyer. Without having freed yourself from the notion that you are the doer and the enjoyer, there's no way of becoming free from this bondage of karma. Understand? And for that knowledge, that's why it's very, very important to become mentally ready for that knowledge. And for that preparedness required for knowledge, for that mental purity and mental steadiness, what is the means? How can I become mentally pure and steady? How can I prepare myself? Can I sit and do meditation all the time? If for mental purity and steadiness, okay, all that you need is, you need to live a life of karma yoga. That's why buddhi yogaha, living this buddhi. Buddhi yogaha means what here? Karma yogaha means what? Entertaining a very special attitude. Having a proper attitude in all your, towards everything in life, in all your day-to-day life activities, that you have an attitude. What is that attitude? No, Ishwara Arpana Buddhihi and Ishwara Prasada Buddhihi. Buddhihi here means what? Ishwara Arpana Buddhihi, Ishwara Prasada Buddhihi means not before doing every action you think, I am doing it for Bhagavan. Not like that. I live this life ultimately for moksha, ultimately for happiness. And that happiness ultimately for discovering happiness, which is already there. It's not to be attained. Okay, this whole human life is lived ultimately to discover what happiness is. Once happiness is discovered, actually life is a life of accomplishment. Life is an accomplished life, fulfillment. Life of fulfillment. You have discovered happiness. Okay, you have discovered stillness. Life is a life of accomplishment. Till then, life is never an accomplished life. Then that is why the life will continue. It never come to anything. There's no choice. It has to be discovered one life or the other. Somehow, somewhere or the other, sometime or the other, this happiness is something to has to be discovered. Has to be discovered as the very self, as the very surupam of the reality, as the very surupam of the self. There's no choice. And for this discovery, mind has to be ready. Understand? And for this, you have to live a life of karma yoga. And what is the attitude you have? I live this life ultimately to discover this happiness. Ultimately discover this happiness as the limitlessness, as the very surupam of the reality, which is manifest as the whole, which is Bhagavan. Therefore, we say all that I do is what ultimately for Bhagavan means. Ultimately, I'm doing everything as an offering to Bhagavan means what? I live this life ultimately to discover Bhagavat Surupam. Bhagavat Surupam means the Surupam, the nature of the whole, the reality of the whole. Understand? This is what is, in fact, entertaining an attitude of doing everything I do with the attitude of offering to the Lord. This attitude makes the karma a karma yoga. How can you have this attitude if you do not have purushartha nischaya? There's no karma can never become if the whatever you do, little or small or big or now however it is, any action you do physically, worldly, mentally, all that you do, if it contributes for the emotional maturity, mental maturity, preparedness, then that karma is called is yoga. If it doesn't contribute for the maturity, doesn't contribute for the preparedness or the mental purity, it is not yoga. The karma that you do mentally, physically or orally, no? Any activity you do, if it contributes for, it paves way for maturity, then it is yoga. Understand? That becomes, itself becomes yoga. And this attitude in doing the akarma really makes the karma yoga. And how can you have this attitude? Only if you have purushartha nischaya. Only if you know, oh, this, my God, I have more happiness is something I have no choice at all. I need to know what happiness is. Knowing what happiness is, in fact, freeing myself from all sorrow and all limitations. Because happiness is something which is there. If I had to, discovering happiness is the ultimate goal. Okay, and for which discovering implies knowledge of the self, knowledge of the reality. And for that knowledge to discover happiness, to discover, to know what the self is, what the reality is, my mind has to become ready means I have to live a life of karma yoga. There's no shortcut method. There's no shortcut method. Understand? That's why people want shortcut methods like fast food. No shortcut method. One has to live a life of karma yoga, which implies entertaining proper attitude. It's called buddhihi here. Buddhihi yoga. No, asmin sankhya yoga buddhihi, no, abhihita, it has been revealed to you, is about karma yoga. And similarly, and water comes also, I take it proper attitude. I mean, how do I take it? A proper attitude means what? Anything which comes, I look at it as a gift. Prasadam from Bhagavan. Why? Because they all, I understand, so how can I look at it as prasadam? I know I have no say over the results of actions. Why I do not have choice over the results of actions? Because they are not to my choice. They are determined by the natural laws. Why the natural laws determine the appropriate results for the appropriate actions? With the results knowingly or unknowingly have been done before. Okay, committed before, and therefore those results are in conformity with those actions. In keeping with the punya papa, in keeping with dharma, dharma, the laws determine the results. And those results are, that's what natural laws determine means. Even law cannot change, law cannot go against itself. Okay, that is the law. Law is law that cannot change by itself. Okay, law determines the result. Natural laws determine the result, appropriate results of for appropriate actions. Now, proper. That is the nature of the law. Understand? Natural law result, audience means that is the nature of the law. Law cannot go against itself. Okay, law determines the results. And what is the nature? What are the natural laws? No law exists outside of the order. And what is order again? Order is backed by knowledge. Then we always say, if we go near, touch the fire, if I touch the fire and it burns my finger, I say, fire has burnt my finger. Then I put the blame on the fire. Fire has burnt my finger. Has fire burnt my finger? Yes, fire has burnt my finger. Has fire burnt my finger? No, fire has not burnt your finger. You touched the fire, therefore fire burnt your finger. Why did fire burn the finger? No, fire did not burn. Fire did not do the act of burning your finger. That is the nature of the fire. Okay? What is the nature of the fire? Burning. Okay? Is not the fire did not come after me to burn, sting me. Okay? Even the snake doesn't come after me to sting. Okay? If I go and touch it, then it will sting me back. Understand? It burns my finger. A burning, it is the nature. I have to be very careful in handling it. Okay? Similarly, dharma law. If I violate the dharma, okay, then dharma pays back. If I go against dharma, that is the nature of dharma. That's why dharma rakshati rakshitaha. Protected means you live dharma, dharma protects you. If you go against dharma, it will pay you back. It will not, it will see that rubs, if you rub against dharma, you will be rubbed against. That is the dharma. So dharma, dharmasya. But with dharma means you can't see dharma, not personified here. Dharma is the very order, law and order. And that is a universal natural law and order. So all the laws are within the realm of the order, and that order is backed by knowledge, that is consciousness. Understand? Pure consciousness is the pure knowledge which backs up the order within the realm of which all the natural laws exist, which we do not see through physical eyes, but these laws exist. We understand the laws being manifest, and these laws alone determine the results of actions. That is why I understand my choicelessness. I have no choice about the results, okay? I have no choice over results. I can just do the karma. I have to wait for the result. And the result, whether the result is desirable or undesirable, determined by what? Ordained by the natural laws. And not the present action is the direct cause. Oh, this result, whether this present action is right or wrong, okay, intentionally done or not, the result, if it is not desirable, karma palam is, karma is the past, the palam of the past, palam of the past, the pain or pleasure. Understand? I have no choice. Then I can develop an attitude. What is the attitude? The whole jagat is Ishvara, Bhagavan. The whole universe is the manifestation of the only reality. Then if the laws, the knowledge back in the order is Bhagavan, okay, order is Bhagavan, the laws are Bhagavan, therefore, look at the law ordained result also as what? Prasada. Gift. And also understand the nature of any result. What is this? Big deal. Everything is subject to change. Except one thing. Nothing is ashashvatam. Sarvam ashashvatam. Only one shashvatam thing is the reality. Other than that, everything is subject to change. Everything comes and goes. Then I can handle it, I can take it with the sameness of mind. Everything comes and goes. And when I am very sure of, I am aspiring for something permanent, which is there definitely, all that I need to do for the permanent thing is I need to know that. And so I can take it, take all these impermanent things which come and go. This attitude of looking at everything as prasadam is what? Prasada buddhihi. This buddhi is, okay, this Isharpana buddhi with reference to karma, performance of duties, prasada buddhi with reference to the results of actions, help me, okay, this attitude, entertaining this attitude is what? Proper attitude makes my life yoga. Okay, then life becomes life of worship. Whole life becomes life of worship. That you can convert a simple life into a life of karma yoga, like you can convert all the actions into yoga, you convert the whole life into life of karma yoga, thereby convert the whole life into life of worship, if the purushartha nischaya is there. The whole life becomes worship, all that you do becomes work itself becomes worship, then at the life is very smooth. There will be troubles, trauma, but still you can manage them, can overcome them. But this life lived as karma yoga, no? Life is karma yoga. Life, this karma yoga is lived. Then which will help what? Result, definitely it will result in preparedness, result in mental maturity, which will help one gain the knowledge of the self, which itself is discovery of happiness, and which whereby one can free oneself from the notion that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, thereby one can become free from bondage of karma. Is it clear? So what he says here is, karma bandham prahasyasi. How can one become free from karma bandha? Not directly. Karma yoga does not free one directly. Karma yoga does not liberate you, does not free you from bondage of karma. Karma yoga will prepare you for the self-knowledge. Okay, thereby self-knowledge will free you from bondage. What? That's why karma yoga is an indirect means for moksha, not the direct means. Karma, just living a life of karma yoga itself does not free one from the bondage, because bondage is purely notional. Understand, living a life of karma yoga will not free you from bondage directly. Living a life of karma, without living a life of karma yoga also, one cannot become free from bondage. Understand what I'm saying? Very important thing. One has to know. Living a life of karma yoga itself is not enough for freedom from bondage. At the same time, without living a life of karma yoga, it's impossible to become free from bondage. Why? Because freedom from bondage is what freedom from, because pure bondage is purely notional. It only needs the correction. Okay? Therefore, what we say here, freedom from the sense of being bound, that implies freedom from the sense of being the doer and the enjoyer, which needs the self-knowledge. This is the knowledge of the self being free from doership and enjoyership, which really will free one from bondage. And for this self-knowledge, the preparedness that is required on the part of the mind is possible only if a person lives a life of karma yoga. For karma yoga is an indirect means for moksha, as a preparatory means for jnana. Therefore, if you live, he says, this abhihita, this buddhihi, sankhya yoga, ya buddhihi abhihita, now which has been revealed, karma yoga, active karma yoga, which has been revealed to you in this chapter on knowledge, section on knowledge. No? He says, buddhyaya buddhya yuktaha, being endowed with this knowledge of karma yoga, being endowed with this attitude, proper attitude, okay, this karma yoga attitude, then you'll be free from bondage of karma. Karma bandham prahasyasi. Is it clear? Yeah, in fact, this verse shouldn't take so much of time. Suppose if we do Tattva Bodha, text like Tattva Bodha, if you have already finished properly, then you will have known by now what? You will know what is bondage of karma, what is sanchitam karma, what is agami karma, what is parabdham karma, what is the notion of being bound, how, what is doership, what is enjoyership, how it is, so doership is superimposed on the I, etc., etc., etc. If all these things we have already known, then we read Gita, Bhagavad Gita book, and it won't take much time. And Shankara gives very little bhasha. Look at this now. Time. Okay. See, shoka moha di samsara hetu dosha. Shoka moha. Shoka ha sorrow. Sorrow is because why sorrow is there? What is sorrow in life? Because of moha. What is moha? Delusion. What is delusion? Lack of discriminative knowledge is delusion. Okay, shoka is because of moha. Okay, what is this shoka moha? The samsara is fraught with the shoka and moha. Sorrow and delusion. Where there is delusion, there is sorrow. wherever there is sorrow, definitely there is delusion. Delusion means lack of discriminative knowledge. Where there is lack of discriminative knowledge, there is error possible. Okay, mistaking something for something else is possible. Therefore, what not the dosha? What is the hetu? Hetu for hetu dosha is what? Ignorance. Okay, the lack of discriminative knowledge implies what? Lack of knowledge. And what is that? Jnanam sakshat karanam. Direct means for the removal of ignorance, which results in delusion and thereby the shoka. Sakshat karma is what? Only means what? It is jnanam. Knowledge is the only means, direct means. But tat praptyupaye, for that jnanam he says, tat praptyupaye nissangataya, with any doubt, okay, for that jnanam, the means, okay, upaya, what are the means to gain that knowledge? You need some preparation for which? Yogaha. Yoga is for preparing the mind for jnanam, which itself is the moksha. Okay, I'll do the bhashya next class. Is it okay? I want to tell that one sentence, very beautiful sentence. He says, no? Look at very beautifully he says. One said very nice. I'll do this next class because it has to be explained well. This bhashyam. Anyway, I had to tell you so much, no? What to do? Because karma bandham prahasyasi, you'll be free from bondage of karma. What is bondage of karma? Why there is bondage, first of all? And is there really bondage? There's no real bondage. The bondage is purely notional. You think you are bound. You think you are bound, therefore you have to free yourself from the notion that you are bound. You can free yourself, if you free yourself from the notion that you are bound, now you are free. Really, you are not bound. You think that you are bound. So, to free yourself from the notion that you are bound, you have to free yourself from the notion that you are the enjoyer. To free yourself from the notion that you are the enjoyer, you have to free yourself from the notion that you are the doer. To free yourself from the notion that you are the doer, you have to disidentify yourself from the body, mind, sense complex. To understand and to disidentify yourself from the body, mind, sense complex, you have to have right identity, for which you need to know what you are. Okay? To know what you are, to know what the self is, to know what the reality is, in fact, your mind has to be ready, because it's discovery. Discovering the subtlest. Discovery of the truth. Subtler the fact, mind must be subtler, much subtler. To discovery of any subtle thing requires the subtleness on the part of the mind. And here, the subtlest, the mind has to discover the very truth of itself. The location, its own location. Mind has to discover its own location, its own existence. That is subtlest of the discoveries, greatest of the discoveries, for which the mind has to be ready to discover its own sarupam. It has to become ready. And that readiness, that's why people go for meditation, okay? But not knowing head and tail of what they are doing meditation for. And for which, really, meditation is very good, but along with the purusharth nischaya, any meditation is fine. I don't say meditative techniques are bad. Any meditative technique is effective, it is useful, but the purpose won't get served, won't be complete if we really, the purusharth nischaya is not there. Okay, the moksha being the end, jnanam being the only means, knowledge of the self being the means, all these things should be understood, for which again, meditative techniques should be practiced along with living a life of karma yoga, which is completely governed by, dharma. values. Life of living a life of being committed to live a life of values is very, very important here. There's no karma yoga. Then the meditative technique, whatever meditative technique you practice, really it is useful. Any meditative technique you practice will be useful, effective. It will result in, it will prepare you. That also your meditative technique will become a yoga. That karma also will become yoga. It will contribute for very fast for your steadiness if karma yoga is lived, if life of values is lived. Now you see the connection, because why he says this, the connection you have to understand. This is the very important verse where Krishna just suddenly makes Jamshinda. Come on, I've been talking to you about this knowledge of the self. Now let me tell you about the karma yoga. Now without that, this knowledge is not possible. He says, Jnanam sakshat karanam and jnana prapti upaye yoga. He says, he's going to say this. Bhashakra says that in Bhashyam. We'll tell that.